Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus journeyed to a city called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd accompanied him. As he drew near to the gate of the city, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he was moved with pity for her and said to her, "Do not weep." He stepped forward and touched the coffin. At this, the bearers halted, and he said, "Young man, I tell you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, exclaiming, "A great prophet has arisen in our midst, and God has visited his people." This report about him spread through the whole of Judea and in all the surrounding region. The Gospel of the Lord. One occasion, reading on the pro-life movement, the most prominent promoter of pro-life in this country is probably Father Frank Pavone. And he said something that seemed to be so obvious, but sometimes we don't have a grip on the obvious. The most important part of the pro-life movement is you got to pray. Got to pray. Of course, all the other activities are important. I'm not going to deny that. But prayer is the very heart of the pro-life movement. Okay. The first reading today and the saint that we celebrate today focuses on one person, and that's the bishop. The bishop. You're listening, hopefully, to the different qualities that a bishop, as well as a deacon, as well as women, should have. You have those three different descriptions of the way a woman should be and not be, the way a deacon should be, and the way a bishop will be. And eventually I'll be talking about the way a priest should be, too. I honestly feel that we don't pray enough for bishops. Sure, we got the group Rosa Mystica. You pray, I think it's one Friday a month, which is very important to pray for bishops and priests. But I think there's too much negative criticism out there and not enough prayer. Now, you criticize, you're not going to get anywhere. You know, you're making yourself worse. The person that listens to you is getting worse. God isn't happy with that. And you're basically making the church worse. But praying and fasting, that's the key. You know, it's easy to criticize. Just open up your mouth. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Just open up your mouth. But to pray and to fast, that's not that easy. Spend a day, bread and water, okay? And you're praying five rosaries. That's not that easy, is it? No? So, with respect to the qualities of the bishop, and St. Robert Bellarmine, who's obviously one of the greatest bishops in the Catholic Church, when I think about bishops today, right away, who comes to me is Fulton Sheen. St. Robert Bellarmine and Charles Borromeo and St. Alphonsus, no doubt. These are the great doctors of the church. And you're not going to go beyond them in holiness and wisdom. But, you know, they lived, Robert Bellarmine lived 450 years ago. So did Charles Borromeo, and St. Alfonso lived, what, 300 years ago. But Fulton Sheen, I actually met Fulton Sheen. Yeah, I met him. My father worked in Manhattan. He bumped into him when he was going into a restaurant. He almost knocked him down, I think, no? Fulton Sheen was only about 5'3". He was not a big man. By the way, Robert Bellarmine was about 4'11". You know, he had so they were small in stature, but they were great in holiness. Probably most of you don't know that Fulton Sheen, at the end of his life, according to canon law, a bishop has to send his letter of retirement, letter of demission is a technical word, to the Holy Father. This is canon law when he's 75. Now the Holy Father can decide to allow him to prolong his episcopacy. Most bishops, when they're 75, are not very healthy. But now and then you've got a bishop that may be pretty healthy at 75, and he can extend his episcopacy. So Fulton Sheen extended, he sent in his letter of demission, and he retired from the Diocese of Rochester, which is declared bankrupt, by the way. So it doesn't mean that he just decided the rest of his life he's just going to watch telenovelas and eat popcorn and, you know, basically play bridge with his friends. No. On the contrary, just change gears. And he did something that I believe was even more important. He dedicated, he's going to die at 84, the same age as John Paul II. He's going to have another 9 years of life. He's going to have operations, open heart surgery, and a lot of suffering, physical suffering. But he decided he was going to dedicate himself to priests and bishops, and that he was going to preach retreats to priests and bishops. I would invite all of you to try to maybe Google in Cor Redlicor, the one he gave in Ireland. He gave one in Washington, D.C. You can get it online, the retreats that he gave to priests and bishops. You can get it online. You can get a DVD if you want. And this is what he said to the bishops. They were pretty blunt. Not all the bishops and priests liked him, because he was very, very blunt and to the point, and sometimes he would rock their ships. He said, when I speak, people listen. When you speak, people don't listen. I mean, that's pretty strong, right? Pretty blunt. I speak, people listen. When you speak, people don't always listen, I should specify. And he said, for one reason. Are you listening? The hour of power. The hour of power. Fulton Sheen. Fulton Sheen never missed one holy hour in 55 years. So when people come to me and they try to make excuses not to do their holy hour, I am merciless. Don't come to me and give excuses, huh? You're coming to the wrong person, no? And I'll quote Fulton Sheen. None of you have written 70 books yet, okay? None of you are TV celebrities. None of you have your own radio program. None of you are the head of the missionary society of the whole church, the whole world, the propagation of the faith. None of you have converted 10 actors and actresses from Hollywood to become Catholics. Have you? Fat chance. As you say in New York, fat chance. I doubt it, okay? This guy was busy. And you know, if you want to get a lot, you want to get a lot done, pray. You're going to find if you pray more, you'll get much more done with less effort, and there'll be a lot of peace. The saints will say this: when you have a lot to do, Okay, double your prayer. Not diminish your prayer. Double it. Double it. Don't diminish it. Otherwise, you find yourself doing your work by yourself. And you're floundering, you're slipping, you're falling, you're irritated, you're impatient, you're kodahuda, you're crotchety, cantankerous. Because you're not doing it with God. So Fulton Sheen, in his retreats, had one proposal. When he gave the retreats to priests and priests, one proposal, which was, any of you know? Hello? He said, if you want this retreat to be success, you have to make the daily holy hour. That was the only proposal he ever gave to the priests and bishops. And he would give all the reasons on why it should be done, and he'd give the different ways in which the holy hour can be done. That is one of my primary motivations in this parish, is to get all of you to do a holy hour. You come to me and you're trying to find excuses, you come to the wrong person. I'm not going to let you off the hook. I'm not going to let you off the hook. You people are receiving so many blessings from the priests here, you know, up at a notch. You know, maybe make two holy hours a day. Saint Faustina, on one occasion, she made a holy hour, it didn't seem to be good. She made a second and she made a third, because she feels she didn't do the first one well. I'm not going to say you have to do three, but don't be tough on yourself in one area. Maybe be indulgent or lenient on some areas, but be super, super intransigent in your prayer life. Demand always more. Don't lower the bar. Raise the bar in your prayer life. I hope some of you are arriving at a point where an hour is not enough. You want an hour and 15 minutes. You want an hour and a half. One rosary is not enough. You want two rosaries. You want three rosaries. One mass is not enough. You want two masses. You want to make another retreat. Come and make the retreat that I'm going to be giving in about a month and a half. No? You have a real hunger for God. Yesterday I was talking with my mother on the phone, and we were talking a lot about prayer. She's spending almost the whole day in prayer. Which is good. You say, Mom, that's good. You work so hard with 9 kids and 39 grandchildren. She said, I just want to pray. And we're talking about this, and she told me this. I thank God so much because ever since I was very small, I always liked to pray. And I told Mom, I said, you know, Mom, for me, one of the greatest gifts I've ever had is that I've always liked to pray. I wonder why I like to pray. Probably because of her prayers. Probably because of her example. And I tell people in many of my talks, I'll tell people this, I'm a teacher, and you know it. I'm a teacher. I've been teaching catechism for 50 years, before some of you were even born, I think. And I say this, I can teach you how to pray, but I cannot give you the desire to pray. I can't give you that. I can't give you that. You have to beg. Beg with tears, with fervor, Lord, give me the desire to pray, and give me the desire to bring other people to prayer. And that's the primary work of the spiritual directors here. I see some of you. You want to pray that your directees will have a great desire to pray. You got to tell them that. No? I'll pray for you. You got to beg the Holy Spirit. Give me a desire to pray. One holy hour is worth more than $1 trillion. Amen? You got to tell them that. Use that next session, okay? One holy hour is worth more than $1 trillion, because a holy hour is contact with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So let's Pray for the bishops. The bishops have, they've got their responsibility for their diocese and decisions and the priests. Pray for the bishops. That's my prayer this morning. One of my prayers, I'm going to place all the bishops of this country and the world on the altar and ask the great Robert Bellarmine to pray for them. St. Robert Bellarmine was one of the most brilliant men in the church. And he actually became a Jesuit. Listen to the irony of this. It's ironic. He became a bishop because he was a genius, photographic memory, brilliant man. And his mother said, hey, look, it's going to go to your head. Don't become a bishop. His mother said, no, it's going to go to your head. And he, when he was younger, he was vain and proud. He wanted applause. And mom said, you're in danger, pal. How often my mother has told me that also, no? You're in danger. Hold it. And she said, go become a Jesuit. Why? Because the Jesuits could not become bishops. That was part of the rule of St. Ignatius. Did you know that? Can't become bishops. It's part of the rule of the Jesuits. Guess what happened? His uncle was the Pope, Marcel II. And the Pope was so aware that he was maybe the most brilliant man in the church back. He's living right at the death of St. Ignatius. And the Pope says, Robert, I want you to be bishop. Ah! But he can't because he's a Jesuit. And this is what the Pope said, I dispense you. And he says, if you don't become a bishop, that will be a mortal sin. So he goes on to become one of the greatest bishops in the Catholic Church, humbly obeying the Holy Father. So let's pray that we'll have holy bishops in honor of Fulton Sheen, Robert Bellarmine, St. Alphonsus Liguori, St. John Neumann, St. Anthony Mary Claret, St. Charles Borromeo. Let's pray to these saintly bishops, that the bishops we have in this country throughout the world will really become holy and great bishops. Amen.